This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, June 8th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, I expect to have representative from the Ministry of Labour here. They call and cancel last minute. They say they can be back here on Monday. I'm kind of excited about the show. I'm trying to have a show on general orders. Anyone know what general orders is? Yes, I'm trying to have a show on general orders. Explain that to me, to listen to the audience. I think some of us tend to get things confused, you know? I'm trying to have a show on defining what public service versus civil service is. Is there a difference between the two? I am not sure. I had them reach out to me, and they were delighted for the show. I'm trying to organize something more permanent to explain certain things happening at the Ministry of Labor. So I'm wishing that good luck to see if that works out. But I'm really excited for this particular time. You know, this particular time when election just over and some people had some concerns. So I'm hoping that I can invite them on to just go over one or two things that I just didn't know, right? Because of that, because of them canceling it, and we'll be here on next week, it's going to be an open line Monday. Yeah, starting the week off with an open line. So that means you can call in and we'll talk what you want to talk about. We're also always in reason. I have one or two things that I want to talk about. Right? We can talk about Labor Day, right? I noticed that only three junk new groups rush. Is that something to be concerned about, right? Did you enjoy your Labor Day? I have a article. No, it's an editorial in the Tribune that I plan to read into the record to see what you say, what you think about that. So I'm going to start off with that. I also see some advisement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs that I plan to read in the record. They're concerned about Cuba. Actually, concerned about Bahamians going to Cuba. But all have the same thing, right? But the idea is that our foreign ministry is giving us some advisement. And when they give us advisement, Bahamians must take note and try to understand the circumstances of what's happening. So I'll read that into the record. And then we can start pontificating about that. What does that mean? What if such things happen to the Bahamas? What can we do? So that's going to be the conversation. But without further ado, this is the Tribune I plan to read from. It's page 6, Monday, June 8th. 2026, right? The headline reads, "Has partition politics hijacked Labor Day?" Now, this discussion has been discussed again and again and again. In truth, I tend to get wary of it because we talked about this last year. We talked about it the year before. We talked about it 5 years ago, and we talked about it 10 years ago. But I guess it's something that is a thorn in a number of our backsides. So therefore, it aches us. And because it aches us, we need to debate it. We need to have a discussion about it. We need to see what's the general consensus of Bahamians. Perhaps the people who are complaining, just complaining for complaining's sake, or perhaps it's a real concern that we would may have to petition our politicians about and say, hey, I understand you won't participate. I understand you are partners of labor, but what you are doing for us. So I'm going to read this and I want you to comment on it. Give me your input on it. So I'll continue. Again, the headline says, in the Tribune, page 6, the headline says, "Has partition politics hijacked Labor Day?" In my day, I did not allow the progressive liberty to dictate to the Bahamas Federation of Labor, not in quotes. Interesting words from another by no less a person than Sir Randall Fox himself. On Friday, the celebrations of Labor Day again saw two separate events take place, the traditional Labor Day March and the Trade Union Congress event that began last year as a gathering. This year, there was a little doubt that that was a separate march. The traditional parade met up at Windsor Park before setting off, with politicians among its numbers, the PLP in yellow and the FNM in red. The TUC march, which with several affiliated unions, set off from the House of Labor and ended at the Sutton Recreation Grounds. There has been much talk about, there has been much talk about size, though the real word that should be used there is partisan. Unification, unionization, is political by its nature. Labor rights are political. Worker conditions are political. Fundamentally, almost every aspect of our daily life is political in nature because it is allowed, forbidden, or governed by political decisions. Such is our world. What the real concern is whether the workers truly are the focus now or whether the labor movement has been subsumed by political leadership trying to take the spotlight. The debate also took place last year when the very idea was rejected, even as Prime Minister Philip Davis and supporters joined the parade wearing Ride the Wave with Brave t-shirts. This year, the shirt said Choose Progress, as party supporters made the most of those election t-shirts that otherwise would be gathering dust in their wardrobe. Across at the FNM section of the parade, they too have previously declined to wear party colors. The explanation from the party leader, Michael Pintard, was essentially that if the PLP were going to keep wearing party colors, the FNM might as well too. If you can't beat them. Although perhaps that's the wrong saying to use given the recent election. Bahamas Public Service Union President Kimsley Ferguson said, there is no problem with political parties coming on the parade, but come and support workers. Wear neutral colors. Don't bring party colors to the parade. That's supposed to be celebrating the workers of the country. TUC President Obie Ferguson, Casey, encouraged participants to wear black trousers and white Labor Day t-shirts rather than political colors. Yet, despite such pleas, out came the colors. Labor Minister Pia Glover-Roll said she felt the parade was not politicized because the parties are at the back of the parade, not mixing in, saying, I don't think it's politicized in any way. And there is a clear separation. Both parties also took to social media to post their participation in the parade. Neither used their platform on that day to amplify the voices of the unions themselves, to state the battles that the workers are presently facing, or to directly explain what changes our country workforce deserve. The parade will have included a number of workers still presently in dispute with the government over a range of issues, of course. It can sometimes be hard to process such thoughts as people say how they are on your side and while not yet having agreed to what you are asking for. And that is the case down the years, no matter who is in power. Back to the quote from Sir Randall Fox, who said he would not let the PLP dictate. At the time, he added that was for the simple reason that whenever there was a dispute, they wanted to know if I was negotiating as the Bahamas Federation of Labor or was the PLP coming. I said, no, this is entirely an industrial dispute. This is not a political dispute about bread and butter. And I made myself very clear about that. The PLP didn't like that because whenever I made a move they wanted a ride, a free ride, that I would not mix my negotiations in that fashion. He continued, and this is perhaps the most persistent of his quotes relating to today's issue. Today, both political parties are trying to ride the bandwagons of the TUC and others. As a result, they, the labor movement, are not as effective as they can be for the poor people. I hope there will be another Bahamas Federation of Labor, but it takes a long time to build a man. Further, when asked about divisions in the labor movement at the time, he replied, "You said they are not united and asked me for advice for them. Well, they should unite and stay clear of these political parties, because no matter what they do, the political parties want to get on the bandwagon. And in getting on the bandwagon, they adulterate the aspirations of the labor movement. They will destroy it." It would be interesting indeed to hear Sir Randall Fox speak on today's conundrum, but in honoring a day that bears his name, our political parties and our unions would do well to do well, would do well to dwell on what he said in the past. And that's the end of that editorial there. So I want to have a discussion about that, right? In reference to Labor Day parade being too politicized or too partisan, as the editor of the Tribune is saying. If you speak to the PLP always says that Labor and the PLP mandate is basically one, to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. They're saying from the initial instance or initiation of the labor movement, the Labor Party, the PLP was involved. This would suggest that Randall Fox was a PLP before he became the leader of the Labor Party in general, and that the PLP always supported Labor, that the PLP always marched in Labor, and subsequently, that's what they do. Now, the question is it too politicized now when the Progressive Labor Party from the past, and we can talk about them for the end sentiments, is when the PLP as a political party is huge, far bigger than all of the unions put together. When the labor march has been completed, the PLP and their marching goes on for at least 30, 40 minutes, going on to hour of this marching on to being, that people who would traditionally participate in the labor march under the banner of their union have now opted to say, "Man, the union does not matter to me today. Being a part of my party is more important," right? And by reverse, the PLP said, "But people have a right to choose. This is what democracy is about. Democracy dictates that I can choose who to associate with." And the people of the Bahamas, in majority, in the mean, have decided that they want to participate with their political party, the PLP and the FNM. So when people complain, I wonder if it's falling on deaf ears. Who are they lobbying? Who they are trying to appeal to in their good self? I'm hoping that you decide to tell your followers, don't march. Or is it like what Kimberly Ferguson said, you can march under your banner, right? But not wearing any PLP paraphernalia or FNM paraphernalia. But if they're in the back of everyone parade, and if they're not even wearing their political colors, even if they're wearing all white or black, you know who they are. They're not a part of the parade for the union. They are part of the parade for a political organization. And then it comes to the word culture. After 25 years of marching, after 30 years of marching, going on 40 years of marching, can we now say that the PLP marching on Labor Day is a part of Bahamian culture? This is something that you expect. This is something that they do. It's a tradition. And if it's something that they do and it's tradition, who are we about our culture, PLP culture? right? Now let's read some of these texts before I move on to my next topic, right? The PLP are a band of reprobates. Okay, Texter. They can see no wrong in that party. They support Satan. Okay, Texter. They support Satan if he was a PLP. Okay, if Satan is a PLP, that means he got saved. He can't be Satan no more because he got saved, right? The PLP are, oh, they send the same thing again twice. I guess they was eager to send that text, right? This text says, great show as usual. Last week, I know this was going to be the topic. After every Labor Day, we go through the same thing. Yes, every day people complain about the same thing. And I'm trying to say, if it is now a part of our culture, if we expect the PLP to come out in large numbers, if Bohemian people in mass say, man, they don't want to march with Labour, they prefer to march with their political party, shouldn't they have the right to choose? That's what democracy is about. They don't want to march with Labour no more. And some people say Labour is in jeopardy. Yes, Labour is in jeopardy because what the Labour is pushing, the agenda, is not seemingly resonating with a large number of people. If you can't get your members to come out and march with you and support Labour Day, it's a problem in your machinery. It's a problem in your management. And that's what they need to address, not to address external issues. You've got to address the internal issues. They cannot get their members to come out. That's the bigger problem. This text says, General Orders is a guide that to adjust it. It's almost like being in slavery. You can only speak to issues through your upline supervisors or managers. And this is a critique, I guess, this texter is saying that general managers is outdated and needs to be updated. And they are working on it, so I heard. So, and I'll ask about that when they do come on, if there's going to be any update of general orders in general. But this person is saying that it needs to be adjusted, right? It feels just like slavery. I'm not sure if we just like to use these colorful words, but from our last two texts, we do use emotive words to express ourselves. It is interesting. But yes, I want to understand and appreciate what general orders is in general, what it encompasses, how does it impact the Bohemian worker, especially those who work, those who work for the public service in the main. But let's go to my next topic today, right, is this warning from the Ministry of, they put out a warning yesterday or the day before. Let me see if I can get it up. Okay, there we go. It's dated June 5th, 2026 advisory, right? It's a travel advisory, Ministry of Foreign Affairs, reference Republic of Cuba travel, right? It says, avoid all non-essential travel. Cuba continues to experience challenges affecting electricity supply, fuel availability, transportation, and access to basic goods and services. These issues may impact daily life across the island, including in Havana, and could change with little notice. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs advises all Bohemian nationals traveling to or residing in the Republic of China to exercise caution and to remain aware of current local conditions. Entry requirements. Required documents. Passport must be valid or at least 6 months from entry for at least 3 date and contain at least 1 blank page. Travel documentation. Return onward tickets required. Proof of accommodation may be requested. Advanced travel completion of the online health and travel declaration form prior to arrival. A QR code will be generated and must be presented to immigration authorities upon entry. The declaration form is available, and they give you a link, right? It's dvageros.mitrans.gov.cu/NCO. Okay. Visas and tourist cards. A visa is required for entry, allows for stays up to 90 days. Extensions of stay must be arranged directly with Cuban immigration authorities in Cuba. For purposes other than tourism, example study, seek further information from the Cuban embassy in Nassau regarding obtaining the appropriate visa category. Comply strictly with immigration regulations. Overstaying the authorized period may result in fines and or detention. Money and financial limitations. Primarily cash-based economy. Cuba operates largely on a cash-based system. International banking access is extremely limited. Bring sufficient cash, US dollars or euro, to cover all expenses for the duration of stay. Cash may be exchanged for Cuban pesos at authorized exchange offices, banks, airports, or designated hotels. Informal currency exchanges should be avoided. Let's read the next page of this. Currency restrictions, entry and exit. Travelers must declare cash amounts exceeding $5,000 upon entry into Cuba. When departing, travelers carrying more than $5,000 in any currency must declare such amounts to the relevant authorities. Failure to declare amounts above the limit may result in seizure of undeclared funds. ATMs and banks. As of June, international Visa and MasterCard transactions have been suspended in Cuba. Travelers should not expect to use foreign credit or debit cards for purchases or cash withdrawals. In addition to cash, travelers may utilize the domestic prepaid Tarjeta Clásica card, which is available to purchase and use within Cuba. Classic cards can be purchased at the CADECA currency exchange offices, the Banco Financiero International, the BFI branches, or special desks in the hotels and airports. Safety and security. Generally considered a relatively safe destination, but maintain vigilance. Petty crime, including pickpocketing and purse snatchings, may occur, particularly in crowded or tourist areas. Avoid displaying large sums of money, jewelry, or expensive electronics. Report any crime to local police. Use only licensed and registered transportation services. Avoid accepting rides from strangers. Demonstrations and police presence. This may occur without notice and are closely controlled by authorities. Avoid all demonstrations and gatherings and follow instructions issued by local officials. Police and military presence may be more visible. Police and military presence may be more visible, particularly in Havana. Carry identification at all times and comply with requests from law enforcement authorities. Health and medical care. Medical services. Access to hospital care and certain medical treatments may be affected by shortages of fuel, electricity, medical supplies, and equipment. Ambulance services may be limited or displayed. Private transportation to a hospital may be necessary. Bring an adequate supply of prescriptions, medications, and basic first aid supplies, as many medicines may not be readily available. All medical services provided by the government of Cuba require cashless payment by international debit and credit card. Patients must have the amount to cover all medical care expenses at times of service on the bank. Let's see the last one. Last notice is vaccinations and diseases. No specific vaccinations are required for entry. Mosquito-borne illnesses include dengue fever, and Chikungangwa, that's how you pronounce it, and are present. Local laws and customs. Follow all Cuban laws and respect local customs during stay. Drug-related offenses carry severe penalties. Electronics, cigarettes, vapes, and personal vaporizers are not allowed in Cuba. Photography of military and installation, police facilities, or other sensitive sites is prohibited. Leaving Cuba with items and goods. Exporting art objects, including artifacts, paintings, and sculptures purchased in Cuba must be authorized to leave the country. There are limits on number of goods, honey, alcohol, and cigars, etc., that can be exported outside the country. Natural disasters. Almost finished. Hurricane seasons run from June to November. Severe weather may result in heavy rainfall, flooding, and strong winds. Monitor center and follow evacuation or safety instructions issued by local authorities, local emergency numbers, and it goes by the numbers so and contacts. So that's the notice. What I'm going to do now is let the lines be open as we do our open line Monday. Kermit, we'll take a break right now. As we continue our discussion, like I said, that was a foreign affairs notice about travel advisory for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs about traveling to the Republic of Cuba. Anyway, Guardian Radio AM, we'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
What you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
Just man, I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business, then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in support. Enjoy fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope concert immediately following the walk. Register at gdcancersupportgroup.com.
To the world, he is your dad, but to you, he is the world. Shower your dad with love with a gift from Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale, Friday, June 9th through Saturday, June 17th. Save 20% off selected tool sets, luggage, and fishing, diving, and camping gear, except on net items. Saturday, June 8th, and if you are standing on the lucky spot, you could win a gift basket for dad. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Shop Kelly's House and Home's Father's Day sale June 9th through 17th. Happy Father's Day from Kelly's House and Home.
Cancer touches far too many families, but hope still lives in community. Join the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group for the Hope Walk 2026 on Saturday, June 13th at 6 a.m. at Goodman's Bay. Walk alongside survivors, patients, caregivers, and families as we come together in strength, healing, and support. Enjoy community fellowship, vendors, activities, and our inspiring Hope concert immediately following the walk today at gdcancersupportgroup.com. Let's take every step forward together for hope.
Oh. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
It's the time again for the 31st annual Michael Scudery Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic.
Bring it on now, let's go.
Whether you're a player or a fan, you don't want to miss this one. The action starts July 13th at the Hope Center. Log on to peaceonthestreets.com and register.
Come on, everybody, let's go.
That's the Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic,
where we shoot hoops instead of guns.
Game time.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. Of course, it's CA Nuri as we have an open line Monday. Downtown is having a protest right now. There's a number of protesters from the Free National Movement that is protesting. They are concerned about the Minister of Finance, Michael Alkeidis, and his involvement with a company before he, or during he was, whilst he was minister, something to that effect. At the same time, the PLP has a protest going, or a protest of support, demonstration, where huge supporters of the Minister of Finance, Michael Alkeidis, is opposite the FNM protesters. They're going back and forth with it. They're for and against what is happening. I find that interesting. What is your take on it? Should the FNM continue with their protests? Because they have a number of protesters the FNM is protesting about. They're still trying to find out who is this. Did a number of demonstrations regarding that. And they are also concerned about the Minister of Finance and his involvement inside this construction company. When did he start? Did he know that who was arrested recently in the United States? And so they're going back and forth regarding that issue. We know that as part of what the opposition does, they oppose. They as Her Majesty's, His Majesty's loyal opposition, they trying to protect the integrity of the Bahamas, and I guess they have the right to do that, and they continue to push and lobby. I think the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party has answered them. I think he's declared that this is a nothing burger. I think the party leader has also spoken on it, that this, and the Minister of Finance definitely has spoken on it, as there is no need for him to resign. And that's what the FNM is calling for. So we at that bypass right now, and where they, both parties now, continue to demonstrate downtown. But I see we have a telephone call here. Let's go to them on this open line Monday. Go ahead, callers. Guardian Radio AM, you're live. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Yeah, you're live.
Good. This thing with Alkeidis and the young man with the company, the building company. Now, first of all, I don't believe him, but I've never seen this man player, but I heard the name for the last 20 years. I've been hearing about this player, but I don't know him, not until they put him on TV. You're trying to tell me somebody in his party didn't know the nature of this man and couldn't tell him? Because everybody, they're always talking about all these family, friends, and lovers and all that.
I don't know him at all. I never heard the name in my life.
Okay, I've been hearing it for about 20 years.
Yeah.
Off and on, and he was living in Panama, and he was living all down in Central America. I could tell you a couple of things I've heard.
Perhaps it's your circle. Perhaps it's a circle that people you hang around with.
Yeah, but listen to me. Somebody in this man's circle should have known knows who he is and should have advised him. Yeah. He can't tell me he don't know nothing about this man. You can't tell me, you can't take people for food like this, and this is a small country.
But how come I don't know nothing about him?
But see, I don't know, but I don't know him until I saw the picture. I only heard this guy's name going around.
But I try to say, I've never heard the name in my life.
Well, fine. True enough, situation or around a circle of people who know certain people, so you know certain names. And if he don't know the name, somebody in his party should have told him. You trying to tell me nobody in that party knew him?
Nobody told me.
Well, you're not in the circle they're running in from.
Man, I'm supposed to know everything. This is what I do. I know people.
You see, and then you also got to have street sense, too. You got to be on the street to hear things, too.
That's true. I'm not a street person.
You don't know nothing about the streets.
You may be a street person and you know these things. That's why you know. That's why you heard the name.
But I am not a part of the street. I've been hearing
maybe
the name.
Mr. Halkidis is not a part of the street
I've
like you.
I'm saying that he went to jail and all.
Yeah.
You're trying to tell me nobody know this man?
I have never heard a name in my life.
Okay, let's say 90, for instance.
I know 90.
I've never seen 90.
I know. I glimpsed him a couple of times. They used to give us lunch money when we walked past the street.
I haven't seen him. I wouldn't know him from a can of paint.
That's because you never used to get no lunch money.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
I grew up poor.
When
I used to catch the bus to Sac, him and the number man, Bo, used to give everyone $10 to $20 so we could catch the bus.
I heard about Mr. Bo, too, but I've never seen him.
Yeah, but I try to say, we grew up poor. You didn't grow up poor. If you grew up poor off East Street and off Bean's Town, you would have got your $20 too.
But Mr. Nuri, let's stay focused now.
I was talking about the $20.
He can't tell me nobody in the PRB knew this man. He can't. If he want people to believe that,
yeah,
and then nobody told him, he got us all for fools.
Yeah.
All right, that's all I got to say.
I appreciate you. I don't know who he is. I never heard the name. This texter says, CA, you ain't hear about Spy. Who is Spy? You ain't hear about Spy either, hey. Laughing off. Y'all could kill me. PLP full of gangsters. They have money. They are the money men. Al-Qaeda's ain't a part of them. All of them know these fellas. But who's Spy? The singer? How come you all know so much suspect people? Okay, I guess it's you, Cole. I'm coming to you right now. This texter says, Mr. Nuri, Pintad said he did not believe Michael Pintard's statement about communicating with Gardner to top notch during a specific period. Pintard said Halkidis should therefore resign and do so only because Pintard doesn't believe Halkidis. I don't think Mr. Pintard should go into any integrity match against Halkidis. Rethink that one, Pintard. And while at it, report to the police on passports that you said fell to the floor in the airline. Yes, I can't go die right now. We need to find out if we have an issue with the passports and we have any information, report it to the police. And Mr. Pintard has a right to protest. I'm not going to stop him from objecting and lobbying for. And at this time, if Mr. Keith doesn't want to resign, it goes down to the Prime Minister. And Mr. Al-Qaeda serves at the pleasure of the Prime Minister. And that ends that. But nothing wrong with lobbying and pushing for it. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM. You live.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning. How you doing? You know Spy?
Pardon me?
Do you know Spy?
Spy?
Yeah.
Who's Spy?
I don't know. That's Spy. What I'm trying to tell these people.
I heard the name Spy before.
I don't know.
Is there another alien?
I don't know. I thought he was a singer.
I know a couple people named Spy, but yeah. I don't know which Spy you're from.
I don't know. Go ahead.
Make up his nickname is Spy.
Yeah.
But I wanted to mention the two things. Wait, let me correct a statement that was made this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think I hear Aaron saying something about part-time people not entitled to overtime. Double time if they work on public holiday. I wanted to clarify that because a lot of employees have this attitude, too, of saying if you ain't work X amount of hours before the holiday, you don't get paid for double time. That's not what the Employment Act says. The Employment Act says as long as you work on a public holiday, you're paid twice your hourly rate. It ain't nothing but how many hours you work before then. As long as you work on a public holiday, you're paid twice your hourly rate. Let me make sure I make that clear.
Do government workers get overtime?
Of course.
I don't know.
The law says you work in excess of 8 hours and any given day, except you work time and a half after the 8 hours.
Okay.
That's law.
Okay.
All right? Now, you were talking about general orders. I wanted to make some comments to you as a general order. And anytime you speak about general orders in the public service, and in under president's available, nobody will. You call me.
I appreciate that.
Now, let me tell you, when we did the first, my administration as president of BPSU, did the first industrial agreement between the Bahamas government and the public service in 2009, I was signed up on the Perry Christie administration.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sorry, 2007, I was signed up on the Perry Christie administration. It was intended to replace general orders. We tried to cover everything possible so that the industrial agreement will be the document that governs the public service. Okay? But what was supposed to happen after the signing of the industrial agreement, the government had agreed to come with a new public service act that would bring the general laws and the act in line with the industrial agreement. That's what was agreed to back then. I can't say if that ever happened, it was supposed to happen, but that's what it was intended to be. It was intended to replace that old chaotic document called general orders, okay? So one of the things was back then, and I say this without fear of contradiction, TSS back then didn't want that general orders to be done away with, but they didn't want to take time to learn the industrial agreement, and secondly, they felt as though they were taking some power from them. So all this talk about civilization not being able to be dismissed from the public service, the industrial agreement spoke to major and minor breaches, and it spoke to the penalties for those breaches. So there's no such thing as a civilization going to be dismissed. You can be dismissed, but there's a procedure that has to be followed in order for that to happen.
I need to bring you on the show. We could talk about the updates or proposed updates in terms of general orders.
I don't know they put around general orders for. I don't know why. That's some document. I think it came into play right after we got self-governance.
Mm.
But that was intended to be done away with. General orders does not apply in no manner in this modern 21st century day of business in the public service. It's a document that needs to be done away with.
So what I'll do is I can have my show about general orders first, then invite you on in terms of what should happen, what should be updated to.
Right. And you could also make this note that after signing the first industrial agreement with the Perry Christie administration, I then, under my administration, made recommendations for the prime minister and introduce a contributory pension plan for every new person coming into the public service from 2007.
Oh, so that's from long time then.
Still not a long time. And I have some, at least one of my former members called me this morning and told me he read some articles that I wrote from 2007 on a pension plan for the public service. It isn't as bad as some people making it out to be, but the one thing the government cannot do is unilaterally change the terms and conditions of those persons who are already in the public service. So they have to be careful not to do that. And I wish to work with the government to help them with this if they want me to. I really, really would like to, you know, work along with them to make sure we get this done right and correctly. I think this government is on the right track. Obviously, they're doing some better. Secondly, I admire the Ministry of the Public Service. I said to myself, boy, she must have seen my blueprint. Just about everything she did was in line with things that because the We Care Team administration, which was my administration for the union then, was recommending. And even when I attempted to be reelected last election, some things that came up with on my flyer, this minister was wise enough to implement, and it's making the public service look really good, making them more efficient.
That's good to hear. But I definitely invite you back. Definitely.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks again. Let's go on to this next caller there, Kermit. Guardian Radio AM, you're live.
Hi, how are you? How are you doing today,
Dad? I'm doing well. How are you doing today, ma'am?
I'll be good. Now, I just heard Mr. Pender, right? Mm-hmm. You asked him about overtime, if people get overtime, right?
Yes, for the public service.
Okay, but you needed to ask him, do you get it in cash? You don't get that in cash. A lot of times, you don't get no overtime in cash.
You get days owed. You get days owed?
Pardon me?
You get a day off?
You hear? They'll give it you a vacation. They give you a day off. You don't get that no cash. You very seldomly do you get that in any cash. And I was waiting for you to ask him about the overtime. But yes, you do overtime. But people want money in their pocket.
Mm.
You understand what I say?
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm no longer public servant person or anything like that, right? But I'd be in there with them general order.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be in cash. It don't happen like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I was waiting for you to ask him, is it in cash? You never ask him that.
I can ask him when he come on.
Huh?
I can ask him when he comes on.
Listen, for real. And cash, people want money in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Don't give me no time. And don't give me no vacation, whatever time. No. Don't give me no day off. People want cash.
Cash rules.
You can't take things. No day off and say, go to the food store and pay. Mm-hmm. What you gonna pay with that?
No, you can't pay nothing with that.
People want cash. You need to ask him that, sir. Anyway, you have a good day.
I appreciate you, ma'am. Kermit, let's go to the next caller. The people want cash. Yeah, we got it. Lobby up with the government. Go ahead, caller. You're live.
Hey, good day. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you. How long ago did Pinder said he was talking about the contributory pension?
He said he used it on his platform when he was running for the last time.
Oh,
that's on Fox.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
And then he said also he had some of these ideas when he was was it director?
Yeah, I remember when he used that on his platform. Mm-hmm. Because I wanted to also add that I remember when I first joined, or around the time when I joined the civil service over 20 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was a recommendation that I've been making. And one of the primary motivations was the government, the current government structure is very limiting, right? And I don't think it's adequate if you want to enjoy a very good quality of life in your retirement, right? If you did a study on government corporations that do provide contributory pension plans, you would find that those persons who work for those agencies, they enjoy a much higher quality of life in their retirement because they're able to raise and relate to what they contribute towards that quality of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I heard someone say the other day on another platform that you shouldn't expect anything for free as it relates to the current scheme, right, where the government contributes entirely to the pension plan. I didn't get a chance to speak to them or to raise a concern on that, but I think we have to be very careful with putting that kind of information out there because when you look, if you conducted an analysis of what civil servants give, right, in service, and that is those who are actually working, right, and doing the work, right, of the government. When you look at what they give in service, comparatively speaking, to private sector, and you look at what they earn in salary and what is earned in benefits, it is no comparison. It is far superior, not close superior, far superior in the private service, than it is in the public service. There's no comparison. And so one of the ways that the government makes up for the lack in pay and personal benefits, right, or schemes like a pension plan or access to a vehicle and other things like that based upon the position that you're serving in.
Okay.
So that last caller, see, and then I want to make a final point on Al-Qaeda's place. The last caller, it also depends on what position you serve in.
Okay.
Because if you are at a certain senior level or whatever the case may be, then naturally you have to exceed there are 10 allowable days for you to accumulate over time, right?
So what do you want to say about Al-Qaeda?
you're nothing else. Well, I see you yourself. Anyway, look, it is quite unimaginable that you would want anyone in the to resign a position, any level of position, judge less a position as high and as sensitive as the Minister of Finance or an executive of the country, based on hearsay and based on innuendo and based on misinformation, right? That would be highly irresponsible. And if any prime minister or any government allows for such a low standard to enter into the service of executive service in a country, and that being the standard or the bar for someone to resign or to be removed from their position, then my God, we kangaroo country and not just kangaroo courtrooms, right?
If
the standard could be anyone making a false accusation against you,
Anton, I won't talk about this again. I can save it for tomorrow because I want you to bring the same topic up. But I have the lines full, and I try and get everyone to talk. But I can bring it up again tomorrow so you can come back and call and say the same thing so I can go back and forth with you. Let's go to the next caller there. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Yeah, me again, Mr. Nuri.
Go ahead.
I thought it was important for me to clarify something the lady was trying to get some information on. The law does not say you give an employee back time for working time and a half or working on a public holiday. That's not in the law. It says you are paid twice your hourly rate if you work on a public holiday, and it says you work if you work on your day off, you get twice your hourly rate. And if you work overtime, you are paid time and a half, your salary times half. It never, ever says you're giving time back. Now, the employment does not protect managers and supervisors. So especially those in the public service, the government offers something called casual days for people who go on your own call of duty. But even if the government permits you to work overtime, and any employee who permits somebody to work overtime must pay according to the Employment Act. And there ain't no exemption in there.
I appreciate you.
If the government scares you to work overtime, they got to pay you.
I appreciate you.
Now, if you go by five, them instead of 7-8, and they build up these extra hours, and so that's where they get their casual leave from.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks very
but
much.
But the law ain't say you're going to buy no time back for overtime. You got to pay. That's what it says. You have to pay them time and a half for overtime and twice the hourly rate for working on a public holiday.
Thanks again.
Right? And so let me also correct you. I said when I signed off on the first industrial agreement in 2007 with the Perry Cruz administration,
okay,
we then recommend that the government should review and start to fashion a contributory pension plan for the public service. And the main reason was every time the government wants to borrow money, the IMF will look at the expenditure of the government, which is the revenue, and one of the largest expense on the government is the public service salaries and the pensions. So from way back then, they've been talking about how to get out of some of the debt. So what the government did, rather than establishing a contributory pension plan, I guess for political reasons, what they did was they started to create these authorities. That's why the Hartford Authority came into play. That's why the Airport Authority came into play. So these authorities came into play to reduce the expenditure on the government books. So don't look at that as an expense to the government to pay pension and gratuities to those persons when they retire.
Good. I might have to invite you sooner than later. I'm going to write you back sooner or later. It's 12 o'clock. I see I had this caller waiting for a while, but I got to go. Let me read this last text. Morning, CA, but me personally, I prefer my day back, time off, or add it to my vacation. Keep the cash and give me my day back. I always ask for extra time in time off. Amen. Okay. Because it hits the company harder if you have a day off. Anyway, tomorrow we'll continue our conversation. This has been Guardian Radio AM with CA Nuri. You have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.